Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retires, it's Adam Schrader here. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. And today, I want to talk about a topic that we may not touch on enough here, and that is diversification. Now, I know when you hear diversification, you almost automatically go into stocks, right? You think, oh, you got to diversify into S&P 500, NASDAQ, Dow Jones, you know, tech sector, energy, oil, all of those things. That's really where you get your diversity, right? That's how you diversify your portfolios, mutual funds, bonds, all of that stuff. But not in real estate. When people talk about real estate, they think about diversity as maybe single family, multifamily, commercial, those kind of things, you know, loans, you know, notes, that kind of thing. But that is one form of diversification. But I want to touch today on another form of diversification, and that is across all lines of your single-family residences. Look, I talk with people about this every single day whenever we're strategizing their real estate portfolio. And the simple fact of the matter is, you don't want to be heavily invested in one market, in one price point, because eventually, we all know, there will be a recession. Don't know exactly when, don't know exactly how, but it's going to happen. And when it does happen, if you're heavily invested in the area that gets hit hard, you are going to be hit hard. And we don't want that for you. I mean, obviously, it's likely that some of your, you know, tenants are going to be hit by a recession if you diversify. But that's the point of diversification, right? Some of your things can get hit while other things continue to thrive. So when you have your portfolio, I want you to look and see what your markets have in common and what your markets don't have in common, and make sure that there is enough not in common that you feel comfortable. So you want to look and see, what is this market relying on? Is it tech? Is it shipping? Is it manufacturing? You know, those are the things that you need to know. And that's why we invest in multiple markets across the country, because they're all having different parts of society, you know, and production. So as you're looking around, you're saying, okay, these people are making $50,000 a year and they're in manufacturing. And these people over here are making, you know, $70,000 a year and they're, you know, truckers, and we have these people here making $40,000 or $50,000 a year, and they're government employees. You know, you're getting that diversity because, look, if something comes around and suddenly, you know, all of the, you know, let's say, you know, things can't be shipped anymore because there's no products to bring in, and so the shipping industry takes a hit. Well, you don't want all of your tenants to be in the shipping industry, right? So when you look at it, you want to be sure that you're hitting all different forms of production in the U.S., the different industries. You don't just have to buy stock in oil and gas. You can buy properties in places that have oil and gas production and rent to their employees. You don't have to buy, you know, Nike stock. You can go into the places where Nike has manufacturing plants and invest in rental property for their employees. You can just go around the country finding markets that make sense and invest in real estate that serves the employees of the main companies in that area. So that's one part of diversification. But the other part of diversification that gets overlooked a lot is diversification in price point. Now, a lot of people, as they continue their investing, start to buy at higher price points because you think, I want nicer properties, I want higher quality tenants, usually, in that case, and I just don't want to deal with the headache of this, that, and the other with the lower rents. I understand that completely. I am in that same boat, but I have to remember, I need to diversify across the whole spectrum. Now, that doesn't mean I have to have, you know, a bunch of 70,000 and a bunch of 150 and a bunch of 250, but I want to be serving people who are paying $1,000 a month, paying $1,250 a month, $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month. Why? Because eventually, when the recession comes around, people are going to lose their jobs, and I don't want to be stuck with a whole lot of people who were paying $1,000 a month and have now been laid off because they weren't essential workers, and suddenly all my properties are vacant, or I'm not getting any money coming in, and I have to file for forbearance or something like that, and as we discovered, a lot of people did during the pandemic. And so you want to make sure that your tenants have a diverse background as well in terms of how much they're making, you know, because everything about this is about splitting it up and reducing your risk, diversifying. We also talk with people all the time about number of properties. You know, they talk about, I want to buy this property in cash because that way they don't have the debt. And yes, you know, we talk about leverage being great because it increases your returns, but it also decreases your risk because if you have, you know, if you're going to buy a home for $150,000 and you're going to pay cash, or you can take, you know, that $150,000 and diversify it into five different properties, it's as if you're buying a fiveplex at that point. And if one of your doors is vacant, four of your other ones are still there. Because when you factor in the cash flow of one paid off property versus, you know, four or five leveraged properties, there's not going to be a ton of difference in cash flow. There will be some, but if you lose one of your tenants, you're only down 20% or 25%, depending on if you bought four or five, as compared to 100% if you just bought the one cash. And yes, when you look at it, some people think, well, I don't want the note because then I'm paying interest and I'm doing this and that. And to them, I remind them, that is a good thing. That interest you're paying is a good thing. You're also not paying it. Your tenant is paying it. Remember, everything is just handed over to the tenant to pay because we are getting positive cash flow in these properties. So you diversify across industry whenever you go into different markets. You diversify among price point whenever you're buying the properties. And that way you get a completely different tenant pool even in the same market. I live in Austin, for example. If something happens to the tech sector, and you know, Austin is the new Silicon Valley, essentially the Silicon Valley of Texas, at least. If we lose our tech sector, yeah, people who are paying, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month in rent are going to get hit, you know, but the people who are paying $1,200-$1,500 in rent, you know, they're probably not in the tech sector and they're doing fine, right? So we want all of this diversity to be happening in your portfolio. Another reason you need that diversification of price point is simply for tax purposes. Look, when you buy that $100,000 house that cash flows $300, $350 a month, you are going to come away with a profit. When you look at it, even when you factor in your interest paid and all of the deductions you can take, it is not going to offset the massive amount of profit you make off of that $100,000 property. So what do? Well, you get a higher priced house that still cash flows, but maybe a little bit less, and that property shows a loss. And when that property shows a loss and you bundle all of your properties together and come out with your passive income, the losses offset the gains from your other properties. So eventually you show either a negative, a flat, or a very small profit as compared to what you would have shown if you just had a whole lot of cheap, high cash flowing properties. And look, I know we all want as much cash flow as possible. It's a fantastic thing. It's what we live off of, right? But we don't want to be paying a ton of taxes either. We want to avoid paying extra taxes. So why not do that by buying the higher priced property that's still going to cash flow, still going to give you a good solid return? Maybe not as fantastic cash on cash, but when you look at your tax savings that it gives you on your lower priced, higher cash flowing properties as well, it ups that return because it's offsetting that property for you. Look, as you go around, there are so many ways that you can diversify your real estate portfolio. And I really want you to understand that it's the exact same thing as going into your stock portfolio and diversifying across the sectors and the indexes. You know, you can't just go in and buy an index fund of single family homes. I mean, you can buy a REIT or something like that, but you can kind of index the market in some ways by buying across the multiple price point. And you can kind of index the United States by buying across multiple markets. So that's really what I want to just drive home to you today. You can diversify your single family real estate portfolio. I want you to diversify your single family portfolio. We want you here at Rent to Retirement to diversify your single family portfolio. We can help you do that. Just schedule a call with us at renttoretirement.com. We will help you figure out exactly how we're going to get you where you need to go with your portfolio to get you to the best place that you can be. But if you just think about it as what is going to give me the highest cash flow, you could end up pigeonholing yourself into a place where all of your properties look the exact same. You're serving the exact same client. You're not taking care of the tax benefits, and you get hit hard either in taxes or when the next recession comes around. And then you start thinking to yourself, well, I guess real estate doesn't work. Because it does work. You just have to do it properly. And before we sign off here today, and now that I'm done with my diversification talk, I want to talk about a little Gallup poll that I ran across recently where they discussed with people and they polled people about the best investment that you can possibly have. And for the 8th year in a row, we are seeing real estate being seen as the best investment between real estate, stocks, gold, and savings. And real estate came away this year with 41% of the vote. Stocks were at 26%, gold at 18%, and somehow 9% of people thought savings accounts were the best place to be. So the last time that we even saw, you know, it being even close was back in 2013. You know, at that point, it was around, 23% for both real estate and gold. And, you know, the gold bugs have been slowly losing their their foothold with investors over the years, even though they're still the doom and gloomers. But obviously, these people who are considering real estate to be the best investment for the last 8 years have primarily been the owner-occupieds. But hey, we need them. We need them as well, right? As we see the benefits, you know, they buy the home, they create the demand. It helps our appreciation. It helps our rent growth. It helps everything that we have going on. And, you know, usually people like to say to go against the herd, but in this case, it looks like the herd is actually right. Now, granted, these people who are in the herd primarily aren't thinking about having a home that they can use as an investment property. They're thinking about their own personal home being an investment, which, as we all know, investments actually put money in your pocket rather than take it away. But hey, it's nice to have our own personal homes appreciating as well, right? So we see appreciation thanks to them on our rentals and our primaries, which allow us to pull money out and use towards more purchases. So I'd like to thank America for continuing the run-up in home values and the continued growth in the market and the continued push on rents as we're seeing interest rates start to rise and people flooding back into the renter's market or being afraid to go into buying a new residence. I mean, it's kind of crazy to me. You've seen the rates bump up a little bit. I mean, rates are still right around 4% for owner-occupieds, and that is slowing demand for housing out there because people have been so spoiled by rates that they think a 4% interest rate is not worth it when it's time to buy. So we've probably got, you know, a couple of years here at 4%, or at least one or two, where people see the 4% and think, oh, that's too high because they remember the twos and the threes. And so they will continue to rent until they see a better time for investing. And who knows when that better time will be that we get down into the threes or maybe even twos again for these people to feel comfortable buying. But until that point, I'll keep renting them my house. You keep renting them your house. And we'll all keep continuing to make money. So really appreciate the time that you're spending with us to make yourself the best investor you can possibly be. Check us out at renttoretirement.com. You can see our inventory. You can schedule a call. We're here to help you as best we can. We'll help connect you with any team member you need, you know, to help you along in your real estate journey. That's renttoretirement.com. Don't forget to leave us a review on our podcast platform. Let other people know that the show's been helpful. I hope it has. If you have any questions or comments, you can also email them to me, podcast@renttoretirement.com. That's podcast@renttoretirement.com. You can also check us out on YouTube. We're putting stuff out there all the time. That's youtube.com/renttoretirement. youtube.com/renttoretirement. Once again, thanks so much for joining me. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. See you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your number one resource for wealth-building real estate investing and stress-free retirement strategies. Continue your real estate education and invest with us at renttoretirement.com.